We're not experts, and the opinions expressed are solely our own. We'll do our best to be factual and correct any errors that might occur at a later date. The main point of this show is taking the fork in the road towards comedy whenever possible. There will be many forks in the road. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Drinking and Talking Animals. I'm Bob.
I'm Mark.
I'm Jorge.
And who's that guy working the ones and twos? He's incredible, folks. That's Max. We took his microphone away.
Thank God.
Yeah, exactly. It was time. I don't know what he's going to do today, but, you know, he's going to have to get up, run around an obstacle course, grab a microphone if he wants one. There you go. He's always prepared.
Yeah, he is.
We're going to talk about cheetahs, and you're going to hear half of it today and half of it next week because there was so much that there's no way. Either that or you're going to listen to one two-hour episode, but, you know, I think people generally make it through about 10 and a half minutes-ish, and, you know, exactly. They're on too many Benadryls like Mark. It's allergy season.
Oh. Yeah. Or it just makes them mad.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're like, yeah, I'm out. That was good. Administrative Professionals Day was back on the 24th, so I hope you took time to thank your administrative professionals if you work with them, because I guarantee they're making your life easier in some way.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Ours do.
Yeah, they do.
No.
George's like, no, they don't do anything.
In fact, she got fired last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Huh. That sucked.
She's sleeping with the boss.
No.
A little Mad Men situation.
No, she just wasn't all that good.
Oh, there you go. How long was she there?
Maybe like a year.
Yeah, that's not...
Not really. She wasn't really an administrative assistant. More of a production manager type.
Oh, yeah. A little bit of a difference there. And anyway, stop saying secretary if you still say that word. Women hate it more than moist. gotta
like
hit the bell
moist.
For moist, right? You don't find a lot of ladies that like moist as a word.
No. Or those two together.
Yeah.
I like moist secretary. Moist. Right. Ooh, yeah, baby.
There's the combo that keeps on giving right there.
I didn't
there.
Say that.
Yeah. I think in this first half, rather than getting to mating, we'll probably cover some of the folklore, and I think I heard Siptrids, or as Mark said earlier this week, Siptids, because he's decided to drop the R off of there now as well. So it's getting shorter and shorter.
That was, you misconstrued. I said, let's sip tits.
So we should just call them sip tits at this point and just go with it.
Holy crap and balls.
Yeah. What are we going to drink and snack on today?
Well, today, we're going to start off with Athletic Brewings.
That's not what I was going to do.
Run Wild IPA has an ABV of 0.05, IBUs of 35, a blend of Northwest hops, which includes Citra and Mosaic, and the malts are malted barley, oat, and wheat.
Hmm. What a random beer to pick with a name like Run Wild for the cheetah.
Yeah, I know. It's like it was meant to be.
Yeah, worked out perfectly.
Then, as a side beer for George and I, because, you know, we like side beers. Let's pour this one real quick.
And by side beers, I think you probably mean actual beers.
Well, yeah.
Although this one's pretty damn good.
It came pretty high. We're drinking Cigar City Brewings.
Huh?
I can never say this right.
High Lie
Double IPA. It's the perfect 10%.
Yeah.
As what it says on the can.
It looks like Max picked that text on that can.
And that is definitely a sports ball you would not want to get hit with.
No.
They're whipping those things at somewhere over 100 miles an hour, I believe. Yeah, 1,000 miles per hour.
This is the ultimate IPA for those who crave a bigger and bolder highlight experience.
I believe it, because I think I could see 10% really jumping off the can there.
Yeah.
A perfect 10%. Exactly. Nice.
And then for our snack, we're going with Cheetos.
Because duh.
Cheddar jalapeno crunchy.
Yes, the greatest cheetah mascot of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Chester Cheetah.
And he was introduced in 1986.
Really? That's it?
Yep.
Huh. I'll be damned. And those are just good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you haven't tried the jalapeno version of the Cheetos crunchy, you're missing out. I'm not a puffy Cheetos man.
I'm not either.
I prefer
either.
The crunchy all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, you're good.
I mean, I like the balls.
Puffy goes stale pretty quick, too.
It does. Although, you know, it's random. Some people, I believe, actually prefer letting the balls sit with the lid off from time to time. I know my grandmother, you know, she wouldn't grab them very often when they were fresh in the big-ass, you know, like keg-sized tub you could buy the cheese balls in back in the day. But after they sat with the lid off for a while, she's all about them. So, you know, I think it's just personal preference. those things, that you're just going after that fake cheese flavor anyway.
Cheese ball gum.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Yeah, it all, even the crunchy version, turns into gum. It likes to pack into the molars pretty well. We all know that. And, you know, you get the sweet orange fingers, which is the classic trademark of Cheetos.
That's what pockets are for.
Yeah. Yeah, and just having orange streaks all over your jeans and shorts and shirt. And yeah, it's good to have a napkin handy if you're going to eat a lot of Cheetos, yeah. I think. But
hey, just remember, don't pick your nose after eating these.
Yeah,
just
true.
Just use one hand.
Or touch your wiener. Or eyes.
Just one hand.
Yeah, you have to eat the Cheetos jalapeno with your left and do everything else with your right, except for George. He does it backwards because he's left-handed. Let's see. Does anyone have anything else before we kick into high gear with the cheetah?
I don't know. Let me think.
Oh, yeah, socials. Drinking and Talking Animals on Instagram and Facebook. Find us at Drinking and Talking Animals on YouTube. Subscribe and like. Even though Mark on the other social medias will tell you to smash subscribe pretty much everywhere because that's where what he thinks happens. But
no, because you can subscribe on your podcast.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. I don't subscribe to a whole lot of podcasts. Maybe ours. It does remind me on Apple Podcasts. It'll be like,
well,
hey,
it wouldn't
new episode.
Do that unless you subscribed.
I must have.
So there.
Well, you know.
You know.
You just like to say smash all the time.
Hey.
Smash.
We were prompted by somebody to say smash. Right.
Well, yeah. I've noticed we've got like an old-timey, you know, version of memes these days, too.
Where we're
just rocking panache and aplomb out the ass these days.
Hey, I had to come up with some new adjectives.
That's true. Yeah, you're going in the way back
machine.
I think
I threw in a... Yeah. Boffo.
Right, I did see a boffo as well. Yeah, I think actually somebody asked me what boffo means. They're like, I have never heard that word before. I'm like,
God.
Really? Like, yeah, it's not a new word.
I know, and we're not that old.
Right, exactly. Well, Mark has a 1968 thesaurus. So.
I've never heard it.
You've never heard boffo?
Huh.
It's like gnarly. It's like... Boss.
The bee's knees?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Wait till you see the memes when we finally do like a 7-part episode for bees. Yeah. That's going to be a long one, everybody.
It'll be beautiful.
Yeah. We're going to have to figure out how many episodes we'll need to break bees into because George is very deep down the rabbit hole on the bees these days. So he's like, we could do a whole show on nothing but queens. And I was like, well, that might be a different show, but...
That'd be Freddie Mercury. Sweet.
Yeah. We're going to do a whole show about Freddie Mercury. Actually, in terms of human animals, he's an interesting one.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, huge teeth.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Four-octave voice. He's a cool dude.
So what about this two-time cheetah?
Two-time cheetah?
Two-timing cheetah.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's going to be pretty much like a regular show, and except we're going to, I think, go to like folklore and any cryptids Mark found, and we'll start the next show with mating. So if you're here for mating, you're not going to get it today. You're going to, yeah, pop your Viagra early next week, folks, to get yourself prepped for the show. Let's get off to the races, and I don't know if we have a commercial anyway.
Bob's Max, getting off.
Yeah, no commercials. Yeah, he doesn't even have a microphone to do a live version of anything today. So, I can tell you that Excuse the Intermission did just have their 200th episode. So that's a pretty big deal in the podcast world. So,
yeah, it is.
Exactly.
We're creeping up there. Yeah,
and it's just two of them now. They actually lost a member at some point, but, you know, Max and Alex still have it going strong. So there's that. There's never going to be an end to movies. So they've
As
got
As we know them.
Right, they have a good theme. Let's see. So cheetahs are mammals in the order Carnivora, and that contains our furry meat eaters. The common name comes from the Hindu word cheetah, but it's spelled C-H-I-T-A. That means spotted one, again in Hindu.
Wow.
I know. It's incredible. They were very creative. But it's lucky that the name for spotted one was cheetah, because that's what we call them today. So I don't know why the spelling got changed so much. I mean, if it was
anglicized.
If it was still C-H-I-T-A, I think you'd still say cheetah. But, you know, maybe we would have never gotten Cheetos if we wouldn't have added the two E's and the A.
Exactly.
Or the H and whatnot.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. You should know by now that I really don't dive into suborders very often, but we're going to do two shows, so why the hell not? And these are easy. And you're probably already familiar with this. There are two, and they are Feliformia, which contains our cat-like carnivores, and Caniformia, which contains the dog-like carnivores. I bet you know which fork in the road we're going to take today, and that takes us to the family Felidae.
Meow.
Felis means cat in Latin. Felidae is the plural form, and members of this family are commonly referred to as felids. Or Felid the cat, the wonderful cat.
I was thinking the same thing.
You laugh so much, your sides will ache, your heart will go pitter-pat. Watching Felids. They're wonderful cats. All right. There are 41 extant species in this family, and they have the greatest diversity of fur patterns of all land-based carnivores. Most of them are solitary ambush predators, so camouflage is a good thing to have. And since we have some extra time, I found it interesting, and I make the rules. We're going to take a little side road, but it's worth it.
Oh, no.
Because I usually don't go into subfamilies either, but when I found out that the guy that came up with the subfamilies was named Reginald Innes Pocock, I was hooked. Right.
I saw that.
The way it works today is Felinae is the subfamily for cats that meow, and Pantherinae is for cats that roar. Our man Pocock came up with those, but he also had a third family, subfamily, called Asinonychinae. And that's more important later, because the word's a combination of the Greek words akinetos, meaning unmoved or motionless, and onyx, which means claw. And that refers to the fact that cheetahs only have partially retractable claws. Another possibility is that it could also come from the word echina, which means thorn. So it would be motionless thorn or motionless claw. Either way, you're kind of talking about the same thing. Pointy,
yep.
But not so much for the cheetah. Anyway, Mr. Pocock got all crazy and came up with all of this because of the ossification of the hyoid apparatus, which is a fancy way to say that he studied the way that the bones that suspend the tongue and larynx developed. He also used some differences in the sheaths that protect the claws, but it was all for naught because later techniques developed for use in molecular biology and for analyzing morphological data throughout his third subfamily. And at the end of the day, it's easier to say that these cats can meow and these cats can roar anyway. If there's an upside to it, the genus became Acinonyx, and that has the same origin as his proposed third subfamily. So finally, we make it to the species, and it's Acinonyx jubatus. And we've got some subspecies today, so we aren't quite done, but this should go fast. And we can do, let's see, we'll do wear along with the subspecies because
yes,
that seems to work well. And jubatus is Latin for crested, and that refers to the long hair on the necks, a.k.a. their manes.
Yeah.
I have two thoughts right now. First is that Cheetah Mane would be an awesome name for a rapper. And why it's not, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Right. If you're looking for a good name, rappers out there, go with Cheetah Mane. Cheetah Mane. And the second is that you should pause right now and Google Cheetah Cub Manes because you need to click images and look at Cheetah Cub Manes. They are freaking crazy cool.
They got mohawks, man.
Yeah, it looks like a bad toupee on the back of the baby cheetahs. Yeah, you can't see it from the front, Max. You're going to need like a side view, but it's totally worth it. It looks kind of hilarious, I think. So on to the subspecies, and we'll start with the nominate subspecies, and for that, we'll just need to add another jubatus to the end, and this goes all the way back to 1775, and where would we find the nominate subspecies, Mark?
Well, we're going to find the Southeast African cheetah from South Africa to the southern part of the Dominican Republic of Congo and southern Tanzania.
There it is.
It is basically in about 22% of its range.
Huh. Yeah. That would make
sense.
That's
left.
And also while we're here and making a long story short, before everything was simplified as AJ jubatus, other proposed species that all ended up lumped together here were AJ fiersoni, which was never even accepted because this dude named Leopold Fitzinger tried three different versions of the spelling and finally people just said, nope.
You're done, dude.
Yeah.
Out of here.
AJ Rainii also got the boot, as did AJ Velox, because it was just based on two different specimens that a couple of other scientists were trying to claim as subspecies for themselves in 1913 and 1909, respectively. And that was kind of sad because the Rainii was actually named after the dude that shot one of the specimens. then a third guy jumped in trying to name one AJ Ngorongoro because of the specimen from the Ngorongoro area in Tanzania. And that's a scary word for white people to say, by the way.
Go wrong with that.
Right, exactly. Anyway, they were all merged together in 2017, and the common name for all of them is the Southeast African cheetah, as Mark already said. So moving along, we'll get to the Northeast African cheetah, also once known as the Sudan cheetah, and that subspecies is the AJ Sumeringii.
Wow. Yes. Now, originally, they were found in Egypt, southeast through Libya and Chad, Nigeria, and the Cameroons, and across to Sudan and Ethiopia. Now, they are pretty much regulated to South Sudan and Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I could never figure out what Sumeringii means, so
no,
skipping it. Skipped it.
I think it's somebody's last name.
It's got to be. And the same holds true for the next one because we have the AJ Hecki, or Northwest African cheetah, and I don't know where Hecki came from either, so where the Hecki can we find these, Mark?
Northwestern Africa, basically in the Sahel, which is kind of like a moderate, what we would call our chaparral areas, and then Saharan areas. Now, it's now confined to fragmented populations in Central Africa, Republic of Chad, Central African, yeah, Republic of Chad, Algeria, Mali, Burkina Faso, Benin, and Niger.
Niger. Nice. And lastly, and this is the weirdest one of the bunch, we have the AJ venaticus, or Asiatic cheetah. And this is derived from the Latin word venor, for hunt or chase, and the word venatus means hunting or the chase. So where are those weirdos from?
Well, they once ranged from the Arabian Peninsula and Near East to Iran, the Caucasus, Central Asia, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, all the way into India. Right now, they are only found in a few protected areas in Iran.
Mm, yep. Yeah, very sparsely splintered areas of Iran.
Estimates are there's about 50 of them left.
Yep.
What flavors in Namibia?
Namibia. I can't remember what those are.
But Namibia would be southeastern.
Yeah, that would be probably the nominate subspecies because Namibia is also known as the cheetah capital of the world.
It is the southeastern, and it is the most.
They have the most cheetahs in the world, but that's not saying a lot.
That's and why I asked.
Yeah, we're gonna get to threats in episode number two of this, and it's a shitty way to end what we're gonna talk about when we, you know, get into all the badass stuff that cheetahs can do. But, you know, there's gonna be really no way around it, and it's not a great story to tell, but it's a story to tell nonetheless. So we're all the way to characteristics already, so
what?
This will be fun.
There's
no way in the world I'm going to try to tell you about all of the minor differences among subspecies.
No.
So this is going to be very generalized, but we might as well let the cat out of the bag here since we made it this far without saying the one thing that everybody already knows about cheetahs. What's that, George?
They're super slow.
Correct. Right.
No, they run 100 miles an hour.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Quite.
Easily. Yeah, kilometers an hour. And that's what you'll see. I think the only way they're even maybe going to get into the hundreds is kilometers per hour. But, you know, but anyway, yeah, that's what you know. That if you came to listen to this episode, cheetahs are the fastest land animal on Earth. Blah, blah, blah.
I think you're pretty safe with 70 miles an hour.
No, actually.
I don't think so. I think
I
it's
don't
slower.
Either. Yeah.
But we've got some stuff. Yeah.
I know.
So you'll read all over the internet that the max speed of cheetahs is supposedly 68 to 74 and a half miles an hour, or the unbelievable 80 miles per hour, which you will find referenced all over the place.
Yeah, I know.
And from everything I can tell, the 80 miles an hour, if even possible, comes from what scientists have modeled to be the maximum potential possible top speed of a cheetah.
Yeah.
If every condition in the world was absolutely perfect and they were gonna run as fast as they could.
They're quoting 80 miles an hour back when I was a kid in the 60s.
Right.
It was pretty common. That was the common number that was put out by Mutual of Omaha, Wild Kingdom.
Yeah. Like, screw you, Martin Perkins. Yeah. I actually saw that they just grabbed two new hosts, and they're going to start up Mutual of Omaha again.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a interesting little thing to come out here today. One of the most referred to stories that I could find actually comes from a female in Kenya that was trained to run a 200-meter straight course behind a Land Rover with a piece of meat tied to it. She was timed with a stopwatch over three attempts with a half-hour rest in between, and her average speed was calculated at 63.7 miles per hour. And did anyone actually find any verified proof of anything higher than that?
No.
Because I could not.
I did see a more verifiable test. It was a guy running a circular line on a toy. He had several hundred meters lined out, and he could run it over and over. He was training it to live on its own in the wild.
Right.
It was really a pretty good story. But I didn't hear what he ended up with, but whatever he got, I know was solid because he could do it over and over.
I think I've got it right here because it was a big, what I believe was a publicity stunt for the Cincinnati Zoo, and this was June 20th, 2012. an 11-year-old female named Sarah ran 100 meters in 5.95 seconds, reaching a top speed of 61 miles per hour.
No, this wasn't that. This guy was in South Africa, I believe.
Oh. I think I did run into a piece of that, but
He did ultimately release it.
Huh. I'll have to, well, hey, everybody, go look for that out there.
Yeah.
I don't think I ran into it, but... just for comparison, Usain Bolt ran the 100 meters in 9.58 seconds on August 16th, 2009, and that still stands as the world record today. So, yeah, the cheetah's beaten that by about 3.5 seconds, which that's pretty good. Wild cheetahs fitted with GPS collars and motion sensors never exceeded 58 miles per hour, and the bigger surprise was that many of the hunts captured only reached an average speed of 33 miles per hour. The qualifier here is that those cheetahs in Botswana lived in a wooded habitat where they mainly hunt warthogs and impalas, so they were rarely able and, more importantly, didn't need to even come close to top speed when they predated.
They couldn't open it out, man.
Right,
they
exactly.
needed a long stretch of road.
It's just all about acceleration. And
right.
Yeah.
And you don't want to pull a Sonny Bono and smack a tree, you know. Like, that's just a good way to take yourself out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what are the coolest adaptations you guys found as far as why they can run so fast? Because there's an absolute ton of them.
Oh, yeah. I like the fact that their nasal passages, combined with having smaller canine teeth,
right,
allowed for faster flow of air into their lungs, which are enlarged,
right,
and their hearts, which are enlarged.
Yeah, bigger heart, bigger lungs.
And that just basically gave them more enrichment of the blood within.
Right.
Super flexy spine.
Yeah. And they literally made the trade-off between longer, more, I think you could kill quickly with longer canines, but they gave it up for running speed and agility, basically.
And weight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Their skull's
literally half
the weight of a leopard skull.
It is weird. It's almost like the cheetah used to live somewhere where, a witch doctor shrunk their heads because they look freaking weird. Like if you see a full grown adult cheetah, the size of their heads does not match what you'd think it should be for the size of their bodies.
It only looks proper when they're at full speed. And
right.
And their head is still, and you kind of see why it's designed that way.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, that's the other big thing is the rounded heads and thin bodies make them very aerodynamic as well. So, you know, plus their tails are the rudder that makes the whole system work. The tail is very muscular, which is, you know, unusual. You wouldn't normally waste any time putting a bunch of muscles in your tail, but when you're reaching speeds like this, having a counterbalance.
And actually being able to, at that speed.
Right.
Dart and dodge with their prey.
Yeah, they throw their tail like all the way to the side as a as a counter to their turns.
Yeah,
yeah. And George and I talked about it earlier this week. It's like, you know, when you watch them in an insane chase of an impala or whatnot, when those impalas make the hard cut, so does the cheetah.
Oh, yeah.
And when a cheetah cuts, I mean, they're putting their ear like, you know, maybe 6 to 8 inches off the ground. It's honestly incredible. I mean, they're, you know, not necessarily, they don't really lean into the turn the way that, you know, they lean away from it to not completely lose their balance and fall over. But, you know what I mean? They're getting way, way down there, like a motorcycle race on a circuit.
Yeah, a metal plate on their knees.
Right. Exactly. It would help, really.
And their strides are like, can be up to 23 feet.
Right.
I mean, and again, and that's all, they get all 4 feet off the ground.
Yeah,
to be able to do that, it's just
yeah, and
amazing.
That was one thing, that there's 2 points during each stride where all 4 feet are off the ground.
Yeah,
there's 1 point when all 4 legs are spread that all 4 are off the ground, and then 1 point when all 4 are bunched under their bodies that
getting
all
ready.
4
yes.
are completely off the ground.
Yeah,
basically
so,
crossing where the front ones are behind the back ones.
And that's
right.
Yeah, and that's just to get that next spring forward.
And that's when their spine is bent up in a big U shape. That if other animals could do, like if a horse could do that, it'd be it would go 100 miles an hour.
Right. Yeah, and the flexible spines is another adaptation of why they're so fast.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing that I ran into was that they can actually slow themselves from about 60 miles an hour to 14 miles per hour in three strides.
Yeah. The deceleration is amazing.
They shut it down.
Right.
They got good brakes, like, man.
Yeah, it's just e-brake, you know.
Yeah. Like, well, also, their muscles.
Right.
One of the reasons they can't climb trees well is because the muscle structure, oh, God, my brain's...
They're afraid of heights.
Right.
No, they're not afraid of heights, but their muscle structure is not is built for speed. I want to say that the muscles, the way they're attached on their tibias and fibias, is they're heavier and they're more towards the front as opposed. That's it. They're more towards the front and not to the side,
mm-hmm.
because that gives them. That helps them with that speed.
Yeah, and they're lengthened.
Yeah.
You know, and most of the time, if you see a cheetah getting up into a tree mm-hmm. with a kill, most of the time they're really just jumping to a low-hanging branch.
Yeah.
It's not so much climbing of the tree as it is just jumping to a place to get off the ground.
Cubs will do a little bit of climbing because they don't know any better.
Right. And their nails aren't worn down yet.
No, so. And...
It doesn't do them any good as protection from a leopard.
Right.
No, true. But they will do it to get away from things like hyenas and lions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mostly hyenas, because a lion can climb a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Hyenas, nay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and those wait.
Yeah, exactly. And they also have very small collarbones and vertical shoulder blades. So that is a weird adaptation also, but it's all about range of motion.
Yeah, you definitely.
Know, right.
There's some excellent super slow motion that's relatively new where it's just crystal clear. You can see everything that's going on. You can see their claws. And it isn't that they move very much. It's almost like the skin pulls back to expose them right as it's starting to dig into the ground.
Huh.
Like just for that digging.
Right.
For more speed.
Yeah.
As their foot goes out, you can like they flex it forward and it exposes a little more of the nail and then and then hits the ground.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
And that's one thing that, you know, they don't even really have the sheaths for their nails at all also. So, you know, the nails never retract like house cats would.
It's just like they're more exposed, like the rest of their foot is pulled back a little bit.
Right.
As they're reaching.
Yeah, and they definitely, that's probably, you know, as they start the stride, I'm sure they're extending to max length for the ultimate traction, you know. It would only
make sense. Putting it in a four-wheel drive.
Right, exactly. Four-low, granny gear.
Yeah.
Except it's like the fastest granny gear of all time. Yeah.
That's basically what Grandpa said.
Big Mickey Thompson mutters.
And then something dies at the end of it.
Right. So we'll probably, I'm sure, head in and out of more stuff to do with running and speed, but... let's go through some average height, length, and weights.
What?
And remember that this is covering all cheetahs, and the variances here, especially when it comes to weight, has to do with age, health, location, sex, and subspecies. So there is a bit of sexual dimorphism, but males are only slightly larger than females, and that has to do with weight more than any other dimensions. They typically stand 26 to 37 inches tall at the shoulders and 3'7" to almost 5' nose to rump with an additional 24 to 31 inches of tail if it was completely straightened.
Yeah.
So a very long animal if you counted the tail. Just kind of a reasonable, you know, 5 feet or less when you're talking nose to buttocks.
Buttocks.
Buttocks, right. Yeah, it shot me in the buttocks. Whoa.
Whoa.
Camera down. The weight ranges all the way from 46 pounds to about 160. So you can see why I mentioned the variance in weight multiple times. Birth weight is a bit closer together with an average between 5.3 and 10.6 ounces, but that's still quite a difference of roughly 100%, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm sure that whoever came up with that just took, what's twice 5.3? Ooh, 10.6. That could be the top. Right. On to spots and colorization. Coats are tawny to creamy white or pale buff and tends to be darker across the middle back, like where the saddle would go for a monkey.
That'd be a fun ride.
You know what? If they had cheetah races with monkey jockeys, I would watch it all day long.
Didn't they used to do that with greyhounds?
Put
monkeys on greyhounds?
Jockeys on them?
I think they may have, way back in the day.
Yeah. It's probably not considered
I'm pretty sure I've seen old-timey pictures of them.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to look that up later.
Yeah. I think if you raise a monkey with a dog, there's going to come a time when the monkey's naturally going to ride the dog anyway. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Or, as you've seen in many of the viral videos, stick its finger up the dog's butthole and then smell its finger. So, if you've ever seen that video of the monkey that sticks its finger in the bulldog's butthole, it happens all the time, everybody.
Anyway, back to cheetahs.
Chins, throats, bellies, and undersides of the legs are white and have no markings. The rest of the body has around 2,000 evenly spaced spots. And these are truly solid spots, as opposed to the rosettes you would find on leopards, which are basically like open circles.
Yeah.
So these are true dots, or, you know, they're not pure circles. They're like irregular blobs, but they are a closed loop thing. They're still referred to as rosettes. Are they?
Yeah.
A solid spot.
Because they're not perfectly round, so anything that's kind of...
So even a Dalmatian would have rosettes then.
Yeah,
huh?
Probably.
Because you just think of them as spots, you know, more
I
than...
I know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the differences. I do know the spots measure about 1 to 2 inches and are evenly spaced, as we already said. These spots are so unique, they can be used like fingerprints to identify individuals. And they also have some random irregular black markings on their coats as well. That's a little harder to see. You can see it a little better when they're cubs and the spots haven't fully developed yet. You can kind of see what's going to remain under them when they come out. But it's hard to spot on the adults.
I didn't get my spots till I was older.
Yeah, those are just liver spots, George.
Much older.
They're freckles.
Yeah, that's skin cancer. Newborn cubs without developed spots. Newborn cubs are, well, I guess they're born without developed spots, but it gives them a darker appearance, and they have pale white fluffy manes that run all the way down their backs that we talked about already. And if you haven't Googled it yet, Google it. And the adaptation is thought to confuse a predator thinking that the cubs are actually honey badgers.
Yeah.
Because if you look at a honey badger from behind and you look at a baby cheetah cub from behind,
I know. I saw that reference numerous places.
Right.
So it wasn't like.
It's totally true.
Oh, yeah. And it's, again, looking at pictures. Yeah, well, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the main color is depending on the species. Some of them, it's more of a blue gray.
Yeah.
I've seen some pictures of the darker ones. But again, that varies with subspecies.
Yeah. And, you know, when they get to the point where they're adults, they lose that, like, honey badger mane.
I'm going
to
say about 3 months.
The mane that remains is rougher and is along the neck and shoulders and only about 3 inches long in adults. And it's more prominent in males than females.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You got to have a sweet-looking mane.
You got to have a sweet-looking mane.
Right, exactly. We already talked about their small heads, and you know what that means. Small ears. They're short and round and have black patches on the back. The eyes are set high with round pupils, but they do have that, you know, field of vision that's a little stronger towards the middle.
Yeah.
So when you think of a cat's eye having that slit, they still do have a very good center range of vision, but they have round pupils, which I didn't know. I thought they would just have like cat's eyes, but
they
don't.
They're mostly diurnal. You got to think about it. Well, that's where they're.
Yeah, that's true. They don't need night vision.
They don't need night vision.
Right. Yeah, and speaking of, the tear streaks that start at the corners of their eyes and run down the nose to the mouth are unique to cheetahs,
yep.
And they believe that works like the blackout that our sports stars put under their eyes to reduce the glare of the sun, and that's good things for diurnal cats to have. Hey, I was kind of getting there in a slow way. Yeah.
Makes them look really cool, too.
Yeah. Yeah, those tear streaks are unusual. You know, you mostly think of, like, tear streaks in dogs.
Yeah.
Like Cocker Spaniels, and there's several breeds of dogs that have those pronounced tear streaks.
Well, and that's just, that's basically, they're light-colored, and that is the actual color of their tears.
Right.
Archie has some dark on his eyes. It makes him look like he has eye makeup on.
Huh.
Kind of like eyeliner.
Right. Yeah. And
it's manliner.
You know, it's actually kind of unique to cheetahs as well that their build is more like a canine. You know, even though they're felids, their build is more likened to a greyhound.
Oh, yeah. Or any of your sight hounds. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, they're definitely just they have canine adaptations, but they ended up cats.
They're aliens.
They are. They might be aliens. And also, they're very, very old. They go way back the historical record. You know, they have fossils of them that go, like, what was it, 330 million years or something?
Yes.
You know, they're one of the original cats that would have appeared on the planet. I think they're the only one that I think was older was maybe pumas or lynx. It was something in there because the...
I want to say...
I think pumas are their closest relatives,
pumas
right?
are their closest relative, but I think lynx may have been the first one.
Yeah. It's weird, but, you know, I didn't jump... We never jump into much of that, but it was an interesting little part of the whole reading part of this. But back to the tail. The first two-thirds are spotted, and the final third has 4 to 6 dark rings or stripes, and it's capped off with a bushy white tuft. So
yeah, I like that bushy white
tuft. Yeah, the bushy white tuft. I think I saw Max putting up a video that, you know, they actually...
I have a bushy white tuft?
They put a circle around the tuft on the end of the cheetah's tail already. So, you know, it is interesting that they cap it off that way. But I believe it's to, like, the stripes and the white tip of the tuft is actually so that the cubs can easily follow their mothers through the grasslands or whatever. It's mostly for rearing cubs. But we'll head back to some other features that makes them fast runners and put a fluffy tuft in the end of this section after we do that. But I think we might have talked about quite a bit of this already, so I'm just going to skip through it real quick and see if we found anything else. Oh, speaking of the respiratory rate that helps them oxygenate their blood, it goes from 60 breaths per minute to 150 breaths per minute during a chase. That is nuts.
That's crazy.
I can't even imagine breathing 150 times in a minute. You'd have to be, like, in labor. I mean, I've seen my dog get so worn out that I think he's taken that many breaths.
That's me after I went to the mailbox.
Like, I'm pretty tired, you know. This is all junk mail, damn it.
Well, and that heavy oxygenation in their blood actually is what helps them regain their stamina fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm. Right. And their noses are larger sinuses.
Yeah.
But you would imagine that anyway, you know. Yeah. That's why they lost the size of the canines, was to make more room in the skull for air.
Yeah, with
to
their
pass
with
easily.
Their little skull, it's got a pretty big hole in it.
Right. And finally, the rough pads on their feet plus curved claws that can't retract gives them incredible traction, but it also creates blunt claws, and that makes them pretty lousy at climbing trees.
Yeah.
And that was it for this part, unless anybody has any other major characteristics that came out.
Pretty much.
I couldn't think of much more than
that. Taxed my brain there.
Brain is taxed. Yeah. Brain is taxed.
So you want to do a little folklore now?
Hells yeah.
All right.
I got Siptids.
I got a story from the Zulu.
Zulu?
Yes.
Oh, snap.
We haven't heard a lot from them lately.
So, long ago...
These words will be easy to pronounce, George. My prediction.
A wicked and lazy hunter was sitting under a tree. He was thinking it was too hot to be bothered with the arduous task of stalking prey through the bushes. Below him, in a clearing on the grassy veld, were fat springbok grazing. Now, this hunter was so lazy, he couldn't be bothered. So then he just gazed at the herd, wishing he could have the meat without the work.
Herd gazer.
Meat wisher.
Suddenly, he noticed off to the left of the springbok was a female cheetah stalking the herd. Now, keeping downwind, she moved closer and closer to them, and she singled out one of them who foolishly wandered away from the rest. She gathered her legs under her and sprang forward with great speed and brought it down, quickly killing it. The hunter watched as the cheetah dragged her prize to a shaded tree where she was greeted by three cubs. Now, the lazy hunter was filled with envy for the cubs, wishing he had a great hunter providing him with fresh meat every day. Then he decided he should steal the cubs and train them to hunt for him.
Smart.
Now, as the sun was beginning to set, the cheetah left her cubs hidden in the bush and then went off to the watering hole. The hunter then picked up a spear and walked down to where the cubs had been hidden. When he got to the cubs, they were still too young to be frightened of him or run away. When he couldn't decide which one to take, he took all three, figuring one was good, but three was better. When the mother returned, in about a half hour, she discovered her cubs were gone, and she began to cry because her heart was broken.
Mm-hmm.
She wept all night and into the next day, leaving dark stains down her cheeks. She cried so loudly, an old man came to see what was all the noise about. Now, this old man was wise and knew the ways of animals. When he found out what the lazy hunter had done, he became very angry because the lazy hunter was not only a thief, but he broke the traditions of the tribe. Everyone knew that Everyone knew that to hunt only your own skill and strength were to be used, doing it any other way was dishonorable.
True.
The old man returned to the village and spoke to the other villagers, who became very angry, and they in turn found the lazy hunter and drove him away. The old man
Ate him.
Yeah.
The old man returned the cubs to the mother, whose incessant crying had stained her cheeks forever. Today, the cheetah wears the tear stains as a reminder to hunters that it is not honorable to hunt in any other way but the traditional way.
That's a good way for them to explain it.
Yeah, it is.
They had a lot of time back then, sitting around the fire. Like, why do you think they have those streaks on their face? Like, ooh, I know.
Now, a lot of traditional African healers and witch doctors use cheetah foot bones in spiritualistic rituals to symbolize fleet-footedness and speed. During the times of the Egyptian pharaohs, the cheetah was considered a goddess named Mofdet. Pharaohs kept cheetahs as close companions, symbolic of Mofdet's protection of their royal thrones. The San of southern Africa ate cheetah meat occasionally as a symbol of speed, and kings wore cheetah skins for dignity. Now, the trade in cheetah skins didn't start becoming prominent until the Europeans ventured in and decided, hey, that would be cool for us, too.
Yeah, like, I don't have one of these on the wall of my cabin.
Now, I'm going to save the sports for the next hour, and we'll go into some cryptids.
Cryptids?
Cryptids.
Oh, snap. Come on.
Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood.
Cryptid!
Ah. cheetah incident.
I did.
Cheeto incident. Now, we're going to talk
second rule.
About the Tennessee red cheetah. It is a legendary cryptid thought to inhabit the fields and forests of Tennessee. It is described as a feline resembling the African cheetah. Eyewitnesses describe it as having a slender build, sleek limbs, like a cheetah. Its fur is a vibrant red color with a golden underbelly. It has rosettes or black spots on the body, just like a cheetah. Now, a couple explanations for the cat are that it is a surviving remnant from the Ice Age when North America had American lions. Actually, a lot of felids first evolved off of North America.
Hmm. Land bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read they found full full skeletons. There's this weird cave where it's just a pit, really, and anything that runs along in the dark falls in it, and they can't get out. And they find all kinds of animals there, all from about the same time period, kind of pre-Ice Age.
Huh. And the North American lion, the American lion, actually makes the modern-day lions look tiny.
Mm.
They're like at least half again bigger.
Damn.
They're huge.
That's a man-eater.
Bigger than the saber-toothed tiger?
Yeah.
I'm a saber-toothed tiger.
Smilodon. It could also be a genetic anomaly of a mountain lion.
Huh.
Now, there's also was...
I'll go with that.
The what was called the king cheetah,
yeah,
or Rex cheetah.
I've got that.
All right, well then we'll wait on that one later. But then there's also
we can do it.
The white.
That's real.
There's the white cheetah too.
Yeah, I didn't do anything about the white cheetah, but now, I do have some stuff about king cheetah.
Okay, well we can do that. Let's go to that, and then we'll slip into the white cheetah.
Yeah. So king cheetahs have three stripes that run down their backs, and they're said to have silky fur as opposed to the coarse fur of other cheetahs. But they are very real. Turns out it's just a genetic mutation that merges the spots into stripes. And in 1927, my main man Pocock was back at it, and he's the one that tried to name them the Asinonyx Rex. Rex is where the king part comes from. He withdrew his proposal in 1939, but since 1927, king cheetahs were reported five more times in the wild in Zimbabwe, Botswana, and northern Transvaal, and one was even photographed in 1975. Then, in 1981, something really strange happened when two females that mated with a wild male from Transvaal at the De Wilt Cheetah and Wildlife Center in South Africa each gave birth to a king cheetah cub.
Yeah.
And they finally tracked it to a genetic mutation that I mentioned earlier in 2012.
Yeah.
So they are very real, the king cheetah.
Yeah. And they actually tend to run a little bit bigger than the average cheetah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was,
Yeah, and it was something to do with recessive genes and alleles. And they figured that these two females that each gave birth to a king cheetah, it's highly possible that 25% of the cubs they'll have throughout their lifetime will be king cheetahs because of they both have the recessive gene.
Yeah.
So, that's...
But, again, they have to be... Generally, for that to happen, they have to mate with somebody that either... possibly possesses the recessive also, but is not the actual in that recessive trait.
Right. Yeah, so. That part got a little into the weeds.
Oh, yeah. It just,
I just thought it was cool that, when I started bumping into king cheetah, I was like, bull crap, you know, like, I've never heard of this in my life, you know, but they're exceedingly rare.
You live a sheltered life.
Right. It is a cool,
it is.
I would just kind of call it like a color morph.
Yeah.
Because they
same as albino, only different.
Yeah. And I believe they're...
Same as far as genes go.
I think there have been albino cheetahs,
Well, then we're
going right?
we're gonna get into the...
Yeah. Max already found one. He's like, hell yeah, there's albino cheetahs.
There's the albino cheetahs, but then there's the, what they call the white cheetah.
Huh.
Which has been... Actually, it was not that long ago spotted, and it's actually a cheetah that has no spots.
No spots.
I thought you said it was spotted.
No. Oh, God.
Yeah. They spotted a cheetah with no spots, George. But it was white.
And it was actually finally photographed a site called IO9.
IO9.
And they're into cryptids. Huh. It's a cryptid site. And they had put out a reward for the cryptid of the year. So people were supposed to go out and photograph. And this guy was out, actually spent a lot of time and effort on this because it was located. He had planes flying around looking for it. Yeah, there it is.
In Iowa?
No. This is in Africa. I mean, it looks funky.
It looks like a cross between a hyena.
Yeah.
And
you take those spots off of it, and it's just, and you know what?
It looks like Photoshop took the spots off.
Well, if if you look at that, actually, no, they did some major delving into the picture. This company did to make sure that people were not faking the pictures, because a lot of that.
Well, since it's a cryptid site, they would never show anything that wasn't real.
True.
Well, no, they were there. They were there to prove that certain cryptids were actually real.
Right.
They were the ones that were debunking.
These are ethically sourced cryptids, George.
But if you're looking at that belly, that animal's probably just eaten.
I'm sorry.
Really well. Because when they eat, their bellies just swell.
Yeah, that one definitely looks like it just had a meal.
It just had a meal.
Yeah, we'll get to some of that in the second episode as well. But
yeah,
I believe they can eat something like 10 pounds an hour.
It's amazing. There he is in his normal.
After a dog.
Yeah.
It does look like a wiener dog cougar.
And then also the one of the rulers in India back in the day had some legitimate white cheetahs.
Huh.
That he used for hunting sports,
nice.
Which I'm going to say for the next.
It was Raja Siegfried and Roy. Yeah. Like, I'm only into white cheetahs, though.
Yeah.
But no magic. Yeah.
So we're going to, how about we.
I guess this is a great place
to. This is a great place to pause and.
Yeah.
Get ready for the next one.
Yeah, wrap her up.
Wrap her up.
Yeah, we're not even going to do beer review.
Not yet.
Yeah,
no.
We'll do that next week as well.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, and it'll give you time to maybe pick up some non-alcoholic or just get totally bombed on those 10% Cigar City Highlights.
Spoiler alert, I like both of them.
I can tell by spoily alert.
Oh, please.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Yeah, cheetah penis next week.
That's right.
I felt cheated.
Peace out, folks.